Oh, thank you. Thank you. You know, I think about that, and you know, it really does get you, you know. As most of you know, I'm a pretty emotional guy anyhow, and when you think about what the Lord has done for us, and we think about what this day represents, you know, it's more than a commercial holiday and, you know, and all the things that goes along with that. We really get down to the heart of the life-changing message of what this season and what this time of year really means, and it's just unbelievable. And you know, and I just it's just overwhelming sometimes. You know, as most time, every time I get here, I'd really enjoy doing what I do. I love preaching and bringing the word, and a couple of things here I'd just love to share for you, just to have a little laugh as we get started. Someone wrote a list here of the 8 things that's all you need to know that you can learn from Noah's Ark. The 8 things of all you need to know. Number 1, don't miss the boat. I thought that's pretty good. Don't miss the boat. Plan ahead. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. Plan ahead. Think about that. Stay fit. When you're 600 years old, somebody might ask you to do something really big. Build your future on higher ground. When you're stressed, try floating. I like that one. Remember that the ark was built by amateurs, but the Titanic was built by professionals. I like this one. Remember, the woodpeckers on the inside are larger than the storm on the outside. I like that one. No matter what the difficulty is, trust in the Almighty, there will be a rainbow at the end of the storm. I love that. And then on a humorous note, Easter afternoon, a pastor's wife, and I thought about this because of the all the things that have been going on. I've been preaching since Friday night, and it's just been awesome. It says, on Easter afternoon, a pastor's wife dropped into her easy chair and said, "Man, am I ever tired. I am just exhausted." And the pastor looked over and said, "Wait a minute. You're tired? Man, look at me. I've preached 2 services last night, 3 today, gave a total of 5 sermons over the whole last couple of days. Why are you so tired?" She said, "I had to listen to all of them." So, hope my wife don't say that later on. Matthew 28, very familiar passage of Scripture. What can we see in an empty tomb? Now, for those of you who are with me this morning, you say, "Wait a minute, he read that Scripture this morning." Yeah, but it won't be the same thing, I can promise you. So, Matthew 28, beginning in verse 1. "Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.' So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, 'Rejoice!' So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" Let us pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for the time we can share together this morning. I just pray, Lord, this would be a blessing to all who are here. Thank you for the faithful, and thank you, Lord, in advance for what you're going to do through the remainder of this day, and we'll just trust you for all things. In Jesus' holy name, we all said, amen. Well, this morning we gather together to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. What a joy! What an excitement! We should get excited. We ought to want to shout. You know, want to fill the air with excitement and praise as to what God has done, how much He loved us, to know that the victory has been won. You know, that ought to make us get excited, to know that the victory has been won. In the times, though, back at the time of the cross, there were those who thought the victory had been won at the cross, but in another way. We know that the real victory was won there. They saw it in a different way. The priests, the scribes, the Pharisees there, they thought that the victory was theirs. They thought the victory had come to them because they thought they'd got rid of him. They thought he was gone. They thought, man, we got rid of him. You know, because he was the one who spoke with authority. He was the one who was showing the people that there was more. He was the one that was exposing their false teachings. He was the one showing everybody the truth. They did not want that. They wanted to get rid of him. And they thought that they had. They thought they got the victory when they put him on the cross because the one who had rebuked them, the one that he had called hypocrites, now he was dead. And boy, they were glad. They wanted to get rid of him. They thought they'd hushed him up. They saw the victory at the cross because this one who had created this great uproar in Jerusalem, this one who had gone amongst the people and told them how it really was, now he was gone. Or so they thought. You see, their supposed victories at the cross was only determined by themselves. But if we look at what this passage says, and we look at 3 days later, just as he promised, we see certain and absolute victory as he stepped out of the grave. We see the real victory. And see, the promise of Jesus in John 2 and 19 was fulfilled. He said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it." You know, and that's exactly what he did. Victory is found in the proof of Jesus being who he said he was. Victory is found in his deity and being exactly as he was proclaimed, the Son of God. We find victory in that. This was assured through the cross. This was assured through the resurrection. Romans 1 and 4 said, "And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." You know, clear as we see there what happened. We see that the greatest miracle, the most unbelievable miracle, the greatest miracle of all took place at the tomb. The resurrection of Christ. The resurrection of Christ. It indeed is, without a doubt, the cornerstone of our faith. It is the foundation of everything that we believe in. It is everything that we base what we believe in on. He fulfilled every promise that he ever made. Every promise that he ever made. And by doing that, it guarantees all the ones to come. It guarantees everything that he has said will happen, like his return. Many today doubt that. Many today don't preach that anymore. They don't think that's true anymore. But I promise you, his resurrection gives power to that truth. His resurrection gives power to our witness to tell others. Here the women were told to go quickly and tell everybody. Go quickly and tell everybody. Jesus even said, "Go and tell my brethren. Go and tell them to go there, and they'll see me there. Go and tell them to go to Galilee." So we look at this empty tomb this morning. What can we see in there? What can we see inside of as we peer and look inside there? Well, let's look back at what these scriptures are saying. We look at again at Matthew 28, the first three verses. "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow." Now first here we see the angel who greeted the women. All right, that's the first thing we see. They had come to the tomb. They were coming to take care of the body and do all the ritualistic things and all the things that went along with that preparation of a body and death. They had wanted to believe that Jesus was the promised Messiah. They had wanted to believe that he could keep his promise of returning. But there's no doubts that they had doubt. There's no question about that. How could anyone have survived that much punishment? How could anyone have suffered in that way and still made it? They wanted to believe. But as they went to the tomb, they expected him to be there, right? They expected him to be there. They were going with the idea to prepare the body and do all the things, and they were going with the expectation that he would be there. But that's not what they got greeted with. It was a whole lot different. It was some earth-shattering, earth-shaking things that happened when they walked up there. To start off with, again, there was a great earthquake, it said. And then the angel appeared in front of them, and he rolled back the stone from the entrance of the tomb, and then he sat on it. Now, that's quite a scene, you know. That all alone would be enough to make you stop before you went any further and say, wow, what's going on here? You know, that was a big deal. But then it kept getting bigger. This stone, what we have to understand, it was not removed for Jesus to get out. It was removed so we could look in. That's why it was changed. See, he didn't need it to get out of the way. We needed to be able to look in and see that he had done just what he said he would do. He wouldn't be there anymore. He was going to get up on the third day and come out. He had done just like he promised. The angel proclaimed this incredible news. Just as they proclaimed his birth. You know, they were shouting, He is not here. He is risen. They had also once told that he was born. They proclaimed later his resurrection. One day, they will proclaim to the church, join him. Come up hither. Come and join him in the clouds. It says in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says very clearly, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. That ought to be pretty comforting. Okay? The angels will proclaim that one day. This angel here is setting on the stone at the gravesite in front of the tomb. It is a proclamation as we look of what was going on there. This resurrection is a proclamation to all, a clear, clear message to all. Jesus defeated death. And when we embrace that message, we see that ensures us the promise of eternity in heaven. Okay? If we believe what he did. Death is not permanent. I got a friend of mine that wrote a song years ago that said, it doesn't all end at the grave. And that's so, I love that song. It's a great song. Praise God for his promises. You know, praise God for his promises, because as this wonderful song that we're going to close with today, because he lives, we can face tomorrow. We can keep going. We can do it, my friends. We can do it because he lives. All fear is gone. The angel told these women, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. We look at this place here at the tomb, and we look in there and we see the angel who appeared, and he rolled away the stone. He told the women what had happened. But in there we also see, as we look inside, we also see some anxiety. We also see some concern for some. But then there's others that we see joy. Okay? Those that thought, this is not possible. Those that thought, wait a minute, I thought we got rid of him. There was a lot of reason to worry. But for those that saw that he was gone, there should be great joy. For those of us today who know that he's no longer there, there should be great joy. You see, we look back to verse 4, and it talks about the guards who were there. It said they shook with fear when they saw the angel. We need to understand why. Okay, they were placed there. They had a job to do. They weren't just there just because they didn't have anything else to do. They'd been placed there because Jesus had planted enough concern within those around them. They said, wait a minute. You know, we've seen him do a whole lot of things, and I believe we got rid of him. But you know, that rascal said he was going to get up after 3 days. We better put somebody out here to check. You know, make sure. Let's put somebody on point here, if you will. And it says here they'd been placed there so no one could come and get the body and steal it and say that he had done something, or just in case he really could do what he said. It says in Matthew 27 and verse 62, on the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, after 3 days, I will arise. They heard what he said, and they actually believed it because they were concerned, or they wouldn't have done all the things that they were doing. Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last deception will be worse than the first. And Pilate said to them, you have a guard, go your way. Make it as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. The priest and the Pharisees that were dealing with all this stuff, the ones that had been in charge of all this, they knew in their hearts Jesus was just no ordinary guy. He was no ordinary man, if you will. They took his promise of the resurrection, and this is what's startling. They took his promise of resurrection more serious than those that actually followed him. They thought he might could really do it. The others were still filled with a lot of doubt. We don't really know. I mean, is that possible? Could that happen? They were concerned. They were scared, if you will, that he just might come back. I mean, look at all the other stuff he'd been doing. Is this possible? So they placed these soldiers there to ensure that his body would remain, whether it be by him getting up himself or whether it be by those going in and stealing him and saying that he did. We can be sure that these men who were put there, these guards, these soldiers, if you will, they were mighty men, I'm sure, you know, big and brawn and strong and ready to go. They'd seen, though, what had happened over the course of the last few days. They'd seen not only the horrific scene of the crucifixion, not only had they seen Jesus be on the cross and hanging there and bloody and battered and all the things that had happened to him, but they also saw when he cried, "It is finished," the earth began to shake. Something mighty took place. The sky became dark. And one of their very own said, "Surely, this was the Son of God." They knew. They knew something mighty had taken place. And here at verse 4 it says, they shook with fear at the sight of an angel and became like dead men. They fell over. You know, it was dark. You know, it was dark, and more than likely they were apprehensive to start with. Not everybody likes the dark. You know, you can't see everything, and certainly you hear noises and sounds. We watch a show, and it's quite comical, but we kind of enjoy it, and it's called Swamp People. I don't know if any of you have ever seen that show or not. It's great. But there's a promo or an intro to that show, and Troy Landry, who's one of the main characters on the show, he says, "There's noises out in this swamp at nighttime that you don't know what they are, and you don't want to know what they are." And I believe here, they everything was going on. They were apprehensive of what was happening here. They were probably nervous. I'm sure they were pacing back and forth and just thinking, "What in the world? Man, how did we get this assignment? Think about what's going on here." And then all of a sudden, an angel shows up. And then all of a sudden, another earthquake begins to take place. And the stone begins to move by itself. You know, as far as they could see, it was starting to move. I believe, and maybe some of you heard this on Friday night, but I kind of gave away my line here, but I believe this was the first recording of somebody having the big one. You remember Fred Sanford? He used to always have the big one. I believe some people here had the big one, let me tell you, because they weren't sure. They weren't sure what was going on. And you know, and I don't know whether they were, obviously they weren't believers in Christ, you know, so I don't know who they called out to. You know, most people when they get in trouble say, "Lord, help me." I don't know who they cried out to, but we can be assured they cried out to somebody and they had some kind of thoughts going on, and truly they had every reason to be scared. Now, why? Well, a couple reasons. Number one, they realized they were responsible for what was going on there. When they woke up, they were going to have to answer for that missing body. But even more importantly, they knew for sure Jesus was just exactly who he said he was. And one day, they were going to have to stand before him. They were guilty of rejecting him. They were guilty of not listening to what he had said. And they were going to have to answer for that. They were now facing some pretty serious reality. Do we not think that same premise of fear, that same idea of reality should face every last person today that says no? Every last person that says, "Oh, I don't believe that stuff"? One day, they will. One day, every one of us is going to look eye to eye with a risen Savior, a most holy God that is not going to hear any excuses. "Well, I wasn't sure." "Well, you know, brother so-and-so over here told..." None of that's going to work. "Well, mama was good." And that's nice, but that's not going to work. You know, grandma believed. That's nice, but that's not going to work. We can find comfort as we look into the empty tomb. We can find comfort, just as the women did, in the words of the angel. They said, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified, but he is not here. He is risen, just as he said." We can still hold true to those words today. It hasn't changed at all. These women obviously were showing fear because he told them, "Do not be afraid." He wanted to comfort them and make them feel better. And I stand before you this morning and tell you the only fear that one should have because Jesus arose is if they are not prepared to meet him. That's the only fear we should have of Jesus. If you're not ready to stand before him, then you should probably be a little concerned. His resurrection guarantees every promise that he ever made as it pertains to eternity and our place in it. And the question is, are you ready? Are you ready for that? Are you ready to make that decision? Are you ready, or have you made that decision? Have you come to know the one who was dead but now lives? Have you done that? Have you made sure? Because here we see the angel, we see the anxiety, but lastly, we see the assurance in the empty tomb. We look back in verse 5, it says, "But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said.'" He already told you he was going to do it. You didn't believe him. He told you he was going. That's why he's not here, because he told you he wasn't going to be here. "Come and see the place where the Lord lay. You can see for yourself. And then quickly go tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Go tell everybody that it has happened. Indeed, he is going before you in the Galilee." So he's on his way. He's already gone and moved on to the next town. "There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went on quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. They didn't know what to. Hey, man, there were so many things going on there. They didn't know what to say. They were probably stumbling over themselves and they were just shouting and just, it was unbelievable. And they ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them. Imagine that. After all that they'd already seen, the angel, the stone rolling away, all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, I'm running to go tell him. And here he comes. Whew. Might have been some more falling over. But he told them, he said, "Rejoice. Rejoice." So they came and they held him by his feet and worshiped him. I would believe there was probably a few tears there. How awesome that scene must have been. And he said to him, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go into Galilee, and there they will see me." We look in. We look in the empty tomb. And we don't just merely see an empty room or an empty cave or whatever the case may be. We don't just see an empty space, an empty grave. We see hope. We see joy. We see reasons to praise, to shout, to jump, to get excited, because we see assurance. We have the hope of all hopes. We have a living hope in the risen Savior Jesus Christ. The soldiers weren't the ones who received these words. They're over here laying out. They fell over. It says they fell like dead men. They're over here passed out. These words proclaimed at the empty tomb are ones that we can build faith on. These words are important. Look at some of these words. Fear not. Fear not. These are great words to hear when we're scared, when we're worried about stuff, when we're consumed with the things of the world, when we're so concerned about things we can't even go forward. These are great words because they come from the Lord. This was not just a plea without a backup. These were real. He was saying, "I got a reason for you not to fear because I know." He says, "For I know who you're looking for. For I know what you're seeking after." These are words that we can be comforted by. He's saying to them, "I understand what you're going through. I know, though, what you're looking for. And I got the answer." We have the power to have that witness by the power of the risen Savior. God is telling everyone today, every lost and aimless soul in our community, in our towns, in our counties, in our country, in our homes, our young people, everywhere. He is telling everyone, "I know what you're looking for, and I got the answer. Come to me. Come to me, and I will give you peace. I will give you rest." Isn't that what Jesus said? "You that are weak or heavy laden, come to me. I'll give you rest. The angel said, he is not here. He is not here. The questions or doubts maybe that was going on in their mind as to what in the world has happened immediately changed into, wow, he really did it. He really did what he said he was going to do. He really is who he says he is. Those two methods of thought, if you will. He really did what he said he did, and he really is who he said he is, still changes lives today when you believe it. When you believe it. I've seen the Lord work miracles many times in my life, but ever most so recently, we've had a lot of things going on personally in different ways that God has moved mountains. It's been unbelievable. The things and the changes and the, it's just unbelievable. And it comes back down to believing that he can do it, but more importantly, that he will do it. We have to put our faith in that. And that changes everything. This, what seemed to be a bad scene, you know, they get there and all these things are happening and the body's gone and all this stuff. It very quickly changed to something really good. Because the angel said, for he is risen. For he is risen. You know? So praise God. Hallelujah. He's alive. You know that? I mean, when we think about how important that is, he has defeated death forevermore. It no longer holds a stronghold on us. We can hang on to that just as he said. That's what the angel proclaimed. Just as he said, he keeps his word. We may not know another soul in the world that actually could say that and be honest. Everybody tries, I believe, to a certain extent, but sometimes we fail. God cannot fail. That is the one thing he can't do, is fail. He keeps his word. He kept it then, he keeps it now, and he always will. That will never, ever change. And this ensures us of all the things that he has said, not only the truth of the resurrection, the truth of the life of Christ, the truth of his return, everything, and it allows us and should encourage us to be prepared and to do as was proclaimed here. Go quickly and tell others. Why quickly? Because it's urgent. It's important. It's the most important news in the world. It's the most important news anyone will ever hear. So I proclaim to us today, go quickly and tell. Get busy. Let everybody know. Just as we sang this morning, he lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. You know, he is our Savior. He did everything that he said he would. And we have to believe every word that he gave. John 10:4 said, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. Isn't that what he did here? He said, I go before you to Galilee. He goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. He went on forward to Galilee. We can follow him today, my friends. We can follow him today quite simply for this one reason. He knows where he's going. I mean, think about it. How many people do we ask for directions and they say, oh, just follow me. You hope they know where they're going, but you don't know for sure because you don't know how to get there, you know? But Jesus said, follow me. He knows where he's going. The fact that today, the tomb remains empty sets every believer apart from every false teaching or faith around the world that exists. It sets us apart from everything that exists in the world. The first line of the song, He Lives, says, I serve a risen Savior. That's who we serve. Yes, that is who we serve today. I serve a risen Savior. The empty tomb shows us a lot of things when we look inside. We see the angel here who brought forth the mighty news. We see fear come and be removed. We see the assurance of God's promises and the level of spiritual reality that should take every one of us to a different place in our life. But the most important part of the empty tomb, the most important part of the empty tomb is what we can't see. We can't see Jesus in there anymore. That's the most important part because he's alive again. The stone's been rolled away. He's alive again. He's no longer in the grave. He's alive again. I can hear the angel say, let all the earth rejoice, because He's alive. He is risen. So come on and celebrate the risen Lord. Celebrate our risen Savior today. Celebrate His name. Celebrate what He has done. And celebrate Him every day, not just today, every day. He's alive and we're forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. Come to Him today. He awaits you. He wants to be in your life. He wants to make your life better than you could ever imagine. So go quickly and tell everybody that you can. Go quickly and tell them about our risen Savior so that they too can share in our joy. Stand with me as we do our